the Public News Service Dawn Newscast, June the 26th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The first in the nation congestive pricing plan in New York City is slated to receive federal approval in the coming days.
The plan calls for a toll on drivers coming into Manhattan's Central Business District, which is defined as everything below 60th Street, with the exception of the West Side Highway and the FDR Drive. A goal of the plan is to reduce congested traffic on the streets by getting more people to use public transit. Proponents of the plan, such as Renee Reynolds with the Tri-State Transportation Campaign, hope this will force the Metropolitan Transportation Authority to improve mass transit service.
So that means improving the infrastructure in our subway systems to make our trains move faster and provide more frequent service.
She says this plan helps buses operate better since they won't be encumbered by heavy traffic. Lawmakers from the outer boroughs and New Jersey have been vehemently opposed to the plan. New Jersey Representatives Josh Gottheimer and Rob Menendez feel the plan is a blatant cash grab for the MTA. Along with Representative Bill Pascrell, they introduced a bill to halt the plan. The bill has been referred to the House Subcommittee on Highways and Transit. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
If all goes well, the program will be in full swing by spring or summer of 2024. Based on the program's initial years, congestive pricing could be brought to other boroughs and possibly other parts of the state. A shooting that erupted Sunday morning in Kansas City, Missouri, in a parking lot there killed at least three people and left five others injured. Yahoo News reports the violence unfolded about 4:30 in the morning southeast of downtown. The sheriff there says officers were called to investigate a report of gunfire, and they found three victims, two men and a woman, dead in a parking lot. No arrests were immediately announced, and a motive is under investigation. Meantime, some 245 food pantries across Colorado are getting emergency funding to help meet a surge in demand after double-digit inflation and the end of pandemic-related food assistance.
Dana Wood with the Colorado Blueprint to End Hunger says a lot of Coloradans are having to make tough choices between paying rent and buying food for their families.
And so food pantries are a vital piece right now for our food system and for folks to access healthy foods that they can't afford at the grocery store.
The state of Colorado is making $14 million available to food banks and pantries. Wood's group is responsible for distributing just over $4 million of those funds to pantries, which are open to the public through the Food Pantry Assistance Grant Program, which was established in 2018 by the Colorado Legislature. I'm Eric Galatis.
The need for food assistance spiked after SNAP benefits were reduced in March. Some families lost $200 to $300 in their monthly food budget. This is Public News Service. And legislation dubbed the Empower Act in Massachusetts would allow municipalities to lower the voting age and use ranked choice voting for local elections.
Town councils could vote to extend voting rights to residents as young as 16 without having to submit a petition to the state for home rule. Common Cause Massachusetts Executive Director Jeff Foster says most 18-year-olds are in transit, off to school or the military, making it harder to create a habit of voting.
We think 16 or 17 is a much better time to get folks involved, because they're so plugged in locally.
Foster says the bill would boost historically low voter turnout for local elections, but opponents contend teenagers aren't mature enough to make informed political decisions. When Tacoma Park, Maryland became the first city in the nation to allow 16-year-olds to vote in town elections, the turnout rate for teenagers exceeded that of any other age group. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And a new study underscores the urgent need for policies to drive down emissions from U.S. oil and gas production, saying the public health impacts are costing billions of dollars.
The research estimates that in a single year, 2016, in the U.S. alone, oil and gas-related pollution cost $77 billion in health damages, contributing to 7,500 early deaths and more than 400,000 asthma exacerbations. Ohio ranks fifth or sixth among states for those health concerns. Peggy Berry, a volunteer with Moms Clean Air Force in Ohio, says there is no question the study points to the need to curb emissions.
In Ohio, they're selling off portions of the potential oil and gas reserves underneath our public parks, and we want to put that stuff in the air.
The report is a joint project of the Environmental Defense Fund, Boston University, the University of North Carolina, and the group Physicians, Scientists, and Engineers for Healthy Energy. The findings come as the EPA is finalizing tougher regulations on methane emissions from oil and gas production. I'm Terry D. reporting.
Finally, Eric Tegadoff lets us know concerns growing in the West about nuclear waste transportation.
On Tuesday, the Snake River Alliance is holding a webinar on these concerns, heightened by the potential of a temporary waste facility opening in New Mexico. Kevin Camps is the radioactive waste specialist for Beyond Nuclear. He says these fears are combined with the recent train derailment of toxic waste in Ohio. He says the federal government and nuclear power industry are rushing to create the New Mexico temporary waste facility.
These dumps that are proposed are called consolidated interim storage facilities, which means it's only temporary and the waste will have to move again. So it's really wrongheaded.
In May, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission issued a license for the temporary waste site in New Mexico. This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations on your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.